This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. We are back live, and I am Glenda Geek in Boynton Beach, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 30th, episode 2107, brought to you by horselovers.com. Good morning, horse world.
Everybody up, rise and shine. It's a new day.
It's Wednesday.
Here we can go again.
And away we go.
Well, dear God, some of you, I feel so sorry for you. My God, polar vortex is taking over the country.
I was watching some of the posts this morning from some of our auditors, and I have them here if you'd like to hear the temperatures.
Well, just so you know, my friend who was stationed with us in Arizona retired and now lives in Chicago with his wife. And oh, my God, it is currently like, just negative 23 is the temperature. That's insane.
I know. I'm seeing posts here. These are auditors. Minus 18 with a minus 50 wind chill. Minus 24 feels like minus 51. Minus 24 feels like minus 50.
You will die. You will die. And so here's where I get like super stressed about it is all the homeless people and the home. Is there enough room in the homeless shelter? And then the people are they bringing in their pets? And because they're saying like in 5 minutes you can have frostbite in these temperatures. So please, please, please be careful. I know one of our listeners has like sheep that are having baby lambs and they're bringing in their kitchen.
A heck of a time to have babies right now outside.
Oh, bless your hearts. You guys all stay warm. Try it. Do your best. The good news is there's more time to listen to our shows and get caught up because you can't do anything else. Like work has been canceled. School's been canceled. Turn on this show. Clean your house. Y'all know you need to clean your house. Come on. Who are you kidding?
We have 2,100 episodes you can go back and listen to. So
yeah, 2,107. Okay. So I'm going to warm you guys up a little bit. I'm going to take you to Florida. Let's travel down to Gulfstream Park in Florida. This happened over the weekend, but Glenn wasn't able to do
about
the show.
45 minutes from here, actually.
45 minutes from here in the pouring rain. So it wasn't like perfect temperature, but this is the Pegasus World Cup dirt race.
We're off in the Pegasus World Cup. Last in, first out, pattern recognition has no choice but to use his quick first gear to get over from the 12 post, and he's done exactly that. From the 12 post to the rail, pattern recognition is in front. City of Light races from second. Accelerate was away well. He's between horses, racing three lengths off the lead while fourth, as Bravazo is at the inside third. Followed fifth by Thompson. Outside in True Timber. They're followed by Audible and Something Awesome. Then it's the local hopeful Gunavera. On the outside of that is the Mexican hopeful Copocan, third last. Second last is Imperative, and Seeking the Soul is last, but not far away as they race into the Gulfstream backstretch. It's pattern recognition through the opening quarter mile in 23-1. He leads by a neck. City of Light glued to him while second. Up on the outside and now third, that's Tom's Detente. Accelerates between horses. Inside in Bravazo, and it's a length and a half back to Something Awesome, racing ahead of Gunavera. He's only five lengths off the lead today. True Timber is on the far outside. Seeking the Soul is at the rail ahead of Imperative. Then it's Audible. And now last is Kukulkan. Less than half a mile to run in the Pegasus World Cup as they round the far turn. They went 46-4 for the opening half mile. City of Light comes away with the lead. Joel Rosario says it's time to accelerate. And the Breeders' Cup winner is trying to get to the other Breeders' Cup winner with less than 5/16 to go. A driven third is Tom's Detente and Something Awesome. And here's the matchup. Accelerate on the outside. City of Light toward the rail. Castellano and City of Light have the lead. And they cut the corner and open up. City of Light puts away Accelerate with an eighth of a mile to go. At the inside in Seeking the Soul, then Bravazo. But City of Light keeps going, and City of Light will win it. It's City of Light for Javier Castellano, and a romp in the rain. He won by five. Second and Seeking the Soul. Third is Accelerate, then Bravazo and Audible, followed by Gunavera, True Timber, Imperative, Tom's Day Talk, Something Awesome, Kukulkan, and
I bet they're happy they didn't give Accelerate the Horse of the Year award now. I mean, like, that would have been like, Horse of the Year loses. And it would have been so contested. So that's a little bit of excitement and drama. And then they did have the inaugural Pegasus World Cup Turf Invitational, which is what they had, $7 million for that. And the horse who won that was named Bricks and Mortar, a Chad Brown trained horse. So Chad Brown gets this huge win. That is the second race Bricks and Mortar has run in 14 months. He had a 14 month layoff and came back and did one race in December, I think. So it was just amazing. And he now, Bricks and Mortar, is heading over to, where Zenyatta is?
You know, when you win $7 million every other year, you can just take a time off.
I mean, seriously, you can just go away, but he's going to go stand at stud. So I think it's really, City of Light is going to go stand at Lane's End. So City of Light's also won the Breeders' Cup Dirt. So he's done well. So anyway, really exciting races and weekends. So there you go. Sorry, I got a little scrambled there at the end.
That's okay. Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
I get scrambled.
No, not Jamie.
No, we did. We never noticed.
Just wait till you find out what happens in my daily winning. You'll know why I'm scrambled.
Okay. Well, coming up on today's show, following the semi-scrambled Daily Winnie, Susan Friedland Smith is going to stop by and tell us all about her new book, Horses Adored and Men Endured. I think a lot of us can relate to that one. And then it's Wednesday, so it's horse health time. And Dr. Brian Waldridge, Dr. B's Bluegrass, is going to stop by and tell us all about coughing, what it is, why it is, and whether or not it's an emergency. And then to wrap things up for the day, Jess Clausen, co-host of the Plaidcast Junior, is going to stop by and tell us all about one of the brand new podcasts here on the network. And it's the Little Plaidcast. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you very much, Jennifer. Daily Winnie time. And you can play the birthday song.
Oh, I thought we were doing Jamie's first.
Nope. Well, because we weren't here on Monday, we missed Auditor Celeste's birthday. And if there's one auditor whose birthday we don't want to miss because we know we will hear about it for like the next year, it's Celeste. So happy birthday, Celeste. And, you know, she always goes to Rolex, too, or to Land Rover. Sorry. She always goes to Kentucky. So, you know, she would bust our chops even there about it. So
I'm sure she would.
Happy birthday, Celeste.
From Chile. And also, you have one more, Mary Hawkins. Yes. Oh, my God, girl, we are thinking about you. Holy cow. Got bucked off. Broke her leg. We can talk about it because she's posting all over Facebook about it because I think she should live stream her surgery. Ew. So that's next week.
Yeah. I mean, when you get a broken leg and need surgery, you broke your leg.
You broke it.
Yeah, you really broke it. So, Mary, we're thinking about you.
So my first daily when he goes to my dear husband, we finally finished putting in the stall mats. 7 stalls, 1 a foaling stall with those freaking interlocking stall mats and, you know, cutting everything to shape and all that. Oh my gosh. So many people have given me great ideas for cutting and I appreciate it. We've tried everything. We used everything. They all suck. Everything sucks doing those, but we're done. So that's good. Continuing on,
it is with putting a puzzle together, isn't it? The mats.
It is.
Trying to get them to fit right, and then you have to cut them twice, and it's like, oh.
Yeah, no, it's terrible. You call it, you just shy like an eighth of an inch shy and can't get it to lay flat. Anyway, so what I did was Chad was working so hard on getting the little pieces together and all that, and I was like, screw this. I got a screwdriver and a hammer.
That's right.
That's how I got it done. And he was like, you don't have to. I'm like, you're just jealous. You didn't think about using a hammer and just banging this crap in
there. Well, you know what? They're going to walk on it anyway, and it gets all messed up anyway, so who cares?
Who cares? But the later on part of my day, you know, we're starting to think about building a house on the property. I'm not going to live in this tiny cracker box of a home for my entire life. So we're looking at building the house. So we had the builder come over and he and Chad
have enough going.
Yeah, this is going to be on the other side of the property, so at least I won't have to trudge back and forth through the mud.
Oh, so and you're not using the same footprint, so you don't have to like live in a camper for a year.
Yes, so it's going to be far away. So there's going to be a separate entrance for these people to do their thing and all that. And that's great. He's like, you know what you need is you need to get your well inspected to see if we can use the same well for the next house as opposed to just using this well for this house and blah, blah. Is there enough? Blah, 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 whatever. So we had the well guy come out last night to check on, or yesterday afternoon, to check on the well. And our well is 70 years old. And the...
There are little hamsters down there pumping the water up.
Yeah, I think the pump is also 70 years old, and we barely have any water pressure as it is. Like, I could pee faster than wash it, you know, the water comes up. So I shower at my mother-in-law's house. This is life. So that's fine. But he's like, oh, I can fix that. I can give you a little bit of pressure in there, and he put some air in something, whatever. Oh my God, I have water pressure. It was amazing. And then I'm like, get Lucas. Lucas is going to take a shower. I'm like, Lucas, it's going to be awesome. And I turn the water on to my completely naked son standing there. And I turn the faucet on. Nothing. Babe, where's the water? How come we don't have any water? And this is like 8:00 p.m., 7:30 p.m. He's like, what? We don't have any water. None.
Oops.
There's no water in the house at all. And so... he's like, well, I guess I'll call him tomorrow. And I was like, give me your phone. I'm calling that guy tonight. So I call him, leave a message. I like send him a text, but I'm like, please advise. We have no water. Like this is a problem. So bless his heart. He comes out at like 8:30 last night and, didn't fix it, but
you need a new pump, don't you?
Oh, but we didn't. It was working fine until he put his little he
pressurized and blew
it.
All the insides out of
blew
the
70-year-old whole
pump.
Thing apart. Yeah, so so we have no water. And if you recall,
is yours the kind where the pump's at the bottom of the well? At the bottom.
I don't. You think I know? You think I'm getting?
Well, I don't
there
know if he mentioned that because we had one where the bottom of the wells, they have to pull out the 80 miles of pipe, and the pump's attached to the bottom. Then they have to change it, put it back down in the hole.
Yeah, I think that's what he said. This is
most of the
this,
old ones are like that. Yeah.
If it's old, that's the way it is, because there ain't nothing new on this house. Anyway, so we now have no water, and that is to follow the no septic tank that has now been fixed, but now we can't use any water because this is fun. Oklahoma's awesome, you guys. I'm really loving it.
Yeah, I can tell. So I can tell.
Good times.
Well, we have our first guest coming up here who has had experiences like you're having in the past. And her name is Susan Friedland Smith. And she has written a book called Horses Adored and Men Endured, a memoir of falling and getting back up. And we've had her on. You might recognize her voice because she's been on before with us here on the show. She writes the blog Saddle Seeks Horse. So she's been on with us a number of times, actually. Good morning, Susan.
Hey, how are you guys doing this morning?
Good. Thanks for getting up so early to come talk to us about your book.
Oh, no problem. It's my pleasure. I actually have a funny story.
Okay.
So I woke up at like 2 a.m. and I had a dream that we already had this interview and you were asking me questions about bird cages. And I had nothing to tell you because I don't know anything about bird cages.
Well, for keeping a roadrunner inside, what do you recommend as far as the places to, you know, like how much space do they really need?
Nightmare you got me on that one.
I'm now at a place that has 85 peacocks outside my window. Can you bring them inside?
What height do you recommend a hyacinth macaw have for an indoor cage? And at what temperature should they be running? You did this to yourself.
I knew I shouldn't have told you guys that. Yeah, I know, seriously.
You know us better than that.
Yeah.
You know, pity the guests that come on for the first time when they get us and haven't listened to the show. That's why I always tell the guests, you might want to listen to what Jamie and I are like before you come on the show.
Susan knows better. Susan, you know better.
I know. But it's good. You know, it just helps, you know, make it more interesting when we get to the real good stuff.
That's true. So let's talk about the real good stuff. You wrote a book, Horses Adored and Men Endured. Does that mean that there were a lot of men? Because the title would lead it to believe that there was.
Yeah, so throughout the course of my life, I've done many things well, and dating was not one of them. So I just didn't have a good picker, as some might say, and just found myself in kind of crazy situations. And for people who know me, I'm kind of a very normal, straight-laced person from the Midwest. Like, I'm not a high-drama person, and somehow I was just always in these situations that got a little out of hand.
Were you the rescuer? It's funny because we had a conversation before the show today, but were you the one saving people? You were going to save them?
No, I was more the one that like, oh, I like him so much. And you know, I like him so much. I'm not going to really express it. Sorry about the noise. I'm a school teacher. So I'm in my classroom before school starts. but anyway, so I would be one of those, sad cases where you just hang on for the hope that they will return the affection to you.
And, how's that go? Jamie?
Let me tell you something. I was a fixer. And let me just to paint a picture of my dating life. What do you call a musician that just broke up with his girlfriend?
What?
Homeless. Okay. Do you know how many musicians I had that lived in my house because they were working on getting, and I was like, I'll fix you, baby. Come on. So I had a different thing than you, but similar broken heart syndrome thing too.
Yeah. So Jamie, when are you writing your dating memoir? Cause I heard the story of how you met your husband and that was pretty compelling.
You know what, Susan? I don't think that I want to relive any of that.
So that brings up a question, Susan. What made you want to relive that, writing the book?
Well, part of it, honestly, was I'm kind of a storyteller. And I would meet people and be like, oh, yeah, don't feel bad. And then share one of these just zany, weird dates. And people would laugh and laugh and laugh. And on more than one occasion, people would say, you need to write a book. And I remember having a heart-to-heart with one of my closest friends one time. I can remember exactly where we were sitting at the restaurant called Hot Chocolate in Chicago. And I said, you know, I could write this, but it's really depressing.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, it doesn't have to be that way. So I started to kind of, you know, they say when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. But I took a memoir class. Just because I wasn't dating anyone and I had nothing else to do. So I took a memoir class at a local independent bookstore after I moved back to Pasadena, California. And we had to write, basically the teacher was saying, write your uncomfortable truth. I'm like, well, I know all about uncomfortable truth. So,
which one?
I wrote a story about kind of my first unrequited love in high school and a story about going to prom. And it was interesting because the other people in the class who some of them were, I didn't really consider myself a writer, but they were writers and they liked what I had to say. And so that was kind of encouraging. I'm like, well, yeah, maybe I can do something with this. So now it took me about 10 years actually to write the book and I wrote it in little vignettes. And now it's kind of like, if I can make something good out of what was really so sad at the time or just weird at the time and make people laugh and connect with other, you know, horse lovers or not even horse lovers, but just women around the world who've had a hard time dating and just help people know, yeah, you're not the only one. That is kind of what is inspiring to me.
Okay. So Susan, our job here on the show is make you as uncomfortable as possible. So what's the worst date you were ever on? We've heard about a lot of Jamie's worst dates.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there's two.
I bet she met Leonardo DiCaprio and didn't say a word. So there's that.
I spit on him. Yeah. So there was that. Plus, it's not about me, Glenn. It's not about me, Glenn.
It's not about you. I'm trying to make her feel more comfortable about sharing her worst date.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So there's two. And I'll just briefly tell you maybe a little bit about both, if that's okay. So one of them was kind of a setup through a friend. And so it was a blind date. This was not an internet date, but I have a lot of those too. So long story short, I went out with the guy to some small concert venue in Hollywood and just didn't really like the music that was playing. And it didn't occur to me, like, a terrible first date with someone is sitting in a really loud concert where you can't really get to know them, connect, et cetera. There were some other things about him that sort of rubbed me the wrong way, and I just knew it wasn't going to be a match basically from the minute I opened the door. But you got to put on your game face and be a good person and at least, you know, go down the path, because it would be rude to close the door on the face of a person that you've just met. So anyway, on the drive home from this very unremarkable date, in which the keys to his car got locked in by the valet, so we were stuck outside late at night on sharing an umbrella because it was raining. It never rains in LA, but it was raining. So like, it had all the makings of an amazing, you know, romance.
Sounds like a romance.
But I'm trying to, like, I'm trying to stand like as far away from him as I can under the umbrella. So it's not romantic because I had no feelings for him. And then as we're driving, he's driving me home. There's a police car following us on the freeway, and he says, "Oh, I know what this is about." So I'm thinking at this point, okay, serial killer? Like, what is the deal? Well, as it turns out, he did not have a valid driver's license. He did not have insurance, which is required by law. He did not have up-to-date tags on his license plate. So the police officer, like, basically said, "I could throw you in jail, but I don't want to do that in front of your lady friend." And the whole time I'm thinking, I'm not his lady friend.
No,
I'm
I don't
not
know
his lady friend.
Take him away.
Yeah. Take me home.
Yeah. So after that, the police officer said, "Well, I'm going to let you go, but you're going to have, you know," he had to appear in court or whatever. I had to drive the car the rest of the way home since I had a valid driver's license.
You're probably better off.
That makes a man's weenie feel very teeny.
Yeah. So, and then he dropped me at my apartment, and I think he lived, I don't know where he lived exactly, but you know, the town, next town over. So stay within 5 to 7 miles. And I kind of looked at him. I'm like, "Well, how are you going to get home?" And he's like, "Oh, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to drive home."
So, please tell me he didn't come in for a kiss after all of that.
Oh, no.
Oh, good.
No, he didn't.
I was a little concerned that he still thought he had a shot.
No, and the other crazy thing is, like, I ran into him a couple other times years later. And one of the times I was at an airport, I think buying a bottle of water at the little, you know, gifty shop, whatever. And I saw him and he was with his family. So I was like trying to dodge him, but then also secretly like, "Oh, good. Things worked out for him." You know, it's a happy ending for his story.
Or he had that family the entire time he was on a date with you. See, that's what would happen to me. Okay. Sitting down on a date. Oh, here you go. Here you go. Ready? Sitting down at a date, I meet this guy. I met him in a coffee shop. It was like two total meet cute thing. Like, just he's in behind line behind me. I go to pay for my coffee. They're like, "Our credit card machine isn't working." And I'm like, "Well, that's all I have." And this guy's like, "I'll pay for your coffee." And he was French, you know, and he like swoops in and pays for my coffee. And I was like, "Next Sunday, if you're here at the same time, I'll buy you a coffee." And next Sunday I'm there and like he swoops in and I buy him a coffee and we decide to meet for dinner. It was like this beautiful, like super romantic thing. And so we meet for dinner that night and we sit down and I'm like joking around. I was like, "So tell me about yourself. Are you married?" And he goes, "How did you know?" And I was like, "What? Oh, no. I was joking, you jackass."
That's
like,
awful.
That's you know what
awful.
I said? I said, "Can I get a to-go box and a check?" And she's like, "Yeah." And so they bring the to-go box and I put my food and he's, you know, trying to make things better. And I put my food in the to-go box and I get up and leave and I leave him with the check.
That's actually smart. I would have. Yeah, that was good. Quick thinking.
Dude, it was Thai food. I was going to leave it. Hello.
You know, you two could host a show on the network between all the auditors talking about their drama and dating. We could just do a horse girl dating show, and it would probably be the most popular one on the network. It really would.
Okay, I'm raising my hand. I'll help you with that.
Okay. Well, Susan, in the meantime, where can people go read your book?
Okay, so Amazon, and it's called Horses Adored and Men Endured. And if you just type that in, it should pop up. And it's available in other countries. I know you have some listeners in other countries. It's in print and ebook. And if people like that, they can also check out my blog, saddleseekshorse.com.
And it's paperback is $16.99, and you can get the Kindle for like $8 at Amazon. So head on over there today. Check it out. You got a little taste of what's in the book today. I think everybody's going to enjoy it.
Thank you, Susan. I don't know how you wrote that, because just telling that story that I just told, I have like complete pit in my stomach, even reliving that. So bless your heart. Well, you're a superwoman.
Thanks. Yeah, well, yeah, I don't know. But my mom is funny because she read it. And then she's like, oh, I read your book a second time. I'm like, why are you doing that? I don't want to talk about it. So I will never read it again.
That is one concern about writing a book, though, is that the people around the book are going to read it. And
they shouldn't have been a jackass in the first place.
Yeah, but you know, every one of them is going to approach you at some point. Even your family who didn't know these stories are going to approach you, right? So you know you got that. You got to deal with that after. It's like...
Yeah. Well, I just figure, you know, we're niche enough, like these guys from days of yore. I mean, if they find out, I was a little worried. I'm like, I'm going to get sued. Well, I changed names. And then I thought, you know what? If someone does say, oh, you can't believe you wrote about me in your book, they're just outing themselves as having been a jerk. So, yeah, I think it's too obscure for them to find.
Who cares? Own it, girl. Listen. I don't change names, and I talk about them on the radio.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. And I do have to carry extra insurance when Jamie came on board.
It's true.
Yeah. Because... Thank you, Susan.
Bye, Susan.
Nice. Thank
Horses
you so
adored
much.
And men
Thank
endured.
Take care.
Battleseeksource.com. God, I don't know how. I don't know how she wrote that. I have just anxiety in my stomach right now just even talking about dating. God.
All right, well, let's talk about Horse Lovers. How about that? Horselovers.com. That's Horselovers with a Z.com. It's a continued sponsor of ours here. And let me guess, every time we talk about Horse Lovers, you've gotten a box in the mail.
No, I'm waiting on it right now, though. So here's what I did, Glenn, because we know that Horse Lovers sells lots of stuff for, you know, horses. I bought all my blankets, and then you buy yourself, you know, they have the deal of the day, and then you get yourself some riding pants. Well, here's what I did. I got that gift certificate from Chad for Christmas for $100. And so I went on, I'm like, I've got to spend it. Whoa. It's like, I didn't get a Christmas present yet. So I went on, and I think the fun thing about designing my own barn is that you know exactly what you want. There's no trial and error, because you know, like Chad was like, we need to get some of those feed tubs that you stick to the wall. And I was like, no, you don't want those, because you can't take them down and clean them out. You know, then you're scrubbing and scooshing water around. And if you just put a regular bucket,
the hard way when you're a young horse owner.
Well, I just working at a million different barns, and then you don't want the buckets that just hang down because your horses kick it around and they spooch their food everywhere. So I wanted those big round tubs that clip to the stalls, but also I wanted that little ring that goes around it to keep the food in. Because these dang horses, we're going to stop wasting food here. And then I have the rubber mat so you can sweep, you know, the shavings back so they get all of it. So I got the big giant tubs with the rubber circular tops that hold all the food in on Horse Lovers. They had that too. They have everything. Yes, they had that. And I'm not kidding you. I looked for them on Amazon. I looked for it on just every website that there is, because when you start adding that up and then you add up some special, you know, large freight for something like that, it gets expensive. And Horse Lovers had it, and they also had it for the cheapest. So, I mean, it was like, why would I look anywhere else? So anyway, horselovers.com. They have everything. Horselovers with a Z.com.
All right, and Jennifer continues to cater to your needs by bringing you veterinarians to solve your particular problems, because apparently this show is all about you.
We've got Dr. Waldridge to talk about coughing. Dr. B's Bluegrass, good morning, Dr. B.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. It is that time of year where horses just get sick. We all are sick and we're all coughing. And you came on this morning to talk to us about horses coughing.
Yes, ma'am. It's a big topic in the winter up here, especially. It's 8 degrees right now with below zero wind chill. So it's they're all inside, and dust and infectious disease loves to close barns. So it's time of year.
Let me ask you, first of all, you're in Kentucky, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And being in Kentucky and it's foaling season, or I guess it's a little early, but babies are going to be born soon. It's really, really, really cold. Is it like, are you like a triage unit or are you shut down?
No, we're having horses come in and out. I've got, I've got about 3 foal watch mares right now. And yeah, everybody, for the most part, kind of avoids this time of year foaling. There's a few, but, just the weather is so unpredictable. And the other thing up here is if you have a dystocia or you get into trouble, the roads may be bad to get somewhere if you had to take the mare in. So we're running, but it's still, you know, usually February, Valentine's Day-ish before things really get going.
Right, right. Well, I'm sure February in Kentucky is much better weather-wise.
It's usually... still pretty bad. We're still in the 31 flavors of winter at that time. Oh, yeah. But it's getting close.
Oh yeah. Well, hang in there. Well, so talk to us about coughing and horses.
Well, I kind of divided, because I thought about this topic today coming in, and divided into infectious or non-infectious. That kind of gets you started, because you know, non-infectious things are like heaves, which has now been renamed asthma. They told us for years it wasn't asthma, but suddenly last year it became asthma. And that's where horses are like humans with asthma. They inhale something that's irritating to their lung and the lining of the lung, and they get a cough. Or they can have something infectious that, you know, viruses usually, and then that can turn to bacterial pneumonia. And then, yeah, you could have weird causes. They're pretty uncommon, like heart disease can cause coughing in horses. And then horses that are choked sometimes will cough that are kind of non-infectious or non-irritating type causes. So, but largely I try and decide if I see a horse, is it infectious or is it not infectious, and kind of branch out from there.
How can you tell if it's infectious or non-infectious?
Well, there's a couple... Really, there's comes down to 2 tests, and the one that's kind of the standard is a transtracheal wash or a tracheal wash, and that's where we take it. You can do it through an endoscope, or you can take a little needle that you stick into the horse's trachea and put a little sterile catheter down there, or if you have to do it through the scope, the sterile catheter goes through the scope. And with that, you can get a sample of the secretions in there, take it to the lab, and look at it under the microscope and see if you can see bacteria and a cell called a neutrophil, and the neutrophil's job is to go eat bacteria. And so if you see bacteria neutrophils and you grow bacteria on your culture, then that helps you tell you that horse is probably infected with bacteria. And with things like heaves, you still see those neutrophils, but you see things like mucus, and they may or may not be infected. And other things like viruses, but to detect those, we have to do nasal swabs, and then those go to the lab. And most labs now use a test called a PCR test, and that's polymerase chain reaction. And what that does is look for DNA. So they're able to look for the viral DNA and tell you if it's present or not. So kind of those 3 things, and then to branch it out, sometimes you can have both problems and still be infected. An endoscope kind of helps you with that too. You can look and see if there's a lot of mucus or pus in the airways, and decide what other diagnostics you may need to do.
So, because I have a sick horse right now, and we've been on 3 different rounds of antibiotics and still haven't been able to figure it out. And she's had eczema and everything. So, the snot that's coming out the nose, you have to do it. What's the difference between taking a transtracheal wash, which is fairly invasive, or just a swab of the nose? Wouldn't that be the same thing?
Well, no, because in the nose, there's bacteria in there normally. And so when you do the transtracheal wash, you're going further down to the airway. Pretty much where you end up sampling there is, you know, where your horse's neck kind of blends into the shoulder. The trachea has a little bend there because it has to go straight into the chest. And so you're sampling all those secretions down in there. And in that area should normally be sterile. So if you go up in the nose, you're probably going to grow a strep, which is the most common bacteria inside and outside of their body, that's growing there normally. So you don't get as much information. And the transrachial wash, like I say, it's with the needle, it's a bit invasive. Usually the horses don't mind that too bad. You can do it through a scope. And sometimes you do pick up some of those contaminants that are in there normally, and that can affect you. But it's usually a certain genus of bacteria that I expect to see on the scope. So I know if I grow those, they're probably junk and not necessarily cause of the pneumonia.
Okay. Okay. So say we've got, you know, you've got all these different things. What is the next step to try to fix the cough?
So we've done, if we do the transrachial wash, that's going to tell us, is it infectious or not? And then if we did viral isolation or viral PCRs, then that would help us know if it's a virus. That would tend to be the step before the bacteria. And then you could do a procedure called a bronchoalveolar lavage. And that's better for things like heaves, also horses that bleed. You had a race horse or a barrel horse that may bleed. And what that does is samples that lower airway. And also, there shouldn't be anything growing down there, but we can't culture it because we have to either use an endoscope or a special tube. And that gets passed really until it gets stuck down the lower airway as we put saline in and pull that back and then look at the cells. And you can see those neutrophils that eat bacteria. And if they're there in high numbers with mucus, it helps you know heaves is probably there. You can see cells that go in and eat red blood cells after horse bleeds to help you know the horse may have bled, which blood itself can cause some irritation to the lungs. And it's a little bit controversial, but horses that have inflammation in their lungs are more likely to bleed because the lungs inflamed, and that can also help you know if maybe you can clean up the airways and get the airways happier, so the horse would bleed less. So that's kind of the next step. You also can do things like radiographs and ultrasound. And really with that, we're looking for things like abscesses, because you can sometimes have a pretty solitary abscess, or ultrasound won't tell you what's going on deep in the lung. It only tells you the edge of the lung. So you can miss an abscess with ultrasound, and that also helps you to know, again, more of an infectious type thing, but can help you to figure them out a bit better, too.
All right. Well, basically, you've given us everything that can possibly be wrong. How do we fix it? How can we fix the horses that are sick?
Well, if they're infected, when you get that culture back, it'll have a list of antibiotics on there. And then, sorry, everybody's getting fed here in the barn.
We love
when we hear horses, Dr. B.
Oh, good. So, so that report will usually give you several antibiotic options, and then some of those antibiotics may only be able to be given IV, some of them may be oral, but what I'll do is look at that list, and some of those antibiotics get to the lung tissue a little bit better than others, and so if I can find one that gets into the tissues better, then I'll go with that antibiotic. Like tetracyclines are one everybody's probably used, or doxycycline, and that has good tissue penetration, and sulfa pills, trimethoprim sulfa, also get the tissues good. So I might choose those over the other. And then if they're showing signs of inflammation, then you can do things like put the horse on a short course of steroids or clenbuterol, ventapulmin, which helps open up the airways. And the other thing ventapulmin does that helps horses, especially initially sometimes, is the cells that line the inside of the lung, they have little fingers on there. And their job is to move mucus up out of the lung into the throat, then the horse coughs that stuff up and gets rid of it. Mm-hmm. And clenbuterol helps those things to move faster. And normally it moves stuff. If you watch it with endoscope, people have done that study, it's pretty neat. It'll move some of those little particles a half an inch a minute. So their job is to keep that junk out of the lungs, and it helps to get things out. So sometimes that can kind of get the horse feeling better. Their airways are bigger or dilated, and helps to get the junk out of the lungs.
Now, from my days as a vet tech, ventipulmin or clenbuterol, we called it liquid gold. Is it still that expensive?
It's still pretty expensive because there isn't a generic available for it yet, so it's still all name brand. And so it's still pretty pricey, and that's why most of us, if we do that, we'll put a horse on a pretty short course of it, like 3 to 5 days, because it sure makes a big difference because it opens up those airways and helps get junk out. And, And if you don't have a horse on steroids at the same time, that drug will start to lose its effectiveness in the lung. So the steroids help it to maintain it. So usually don't get much more use after about 3 to 5 days that the horse isn't on steroids as well.
All right. So when I call you and I say my horse is coughing, what are some of the things that are beneficial for me to give you? Like take the temperature? Do you need the pulse? What can I provide you with when I make that initial phone call?
Oh, definitely the temperature is important because if the horse is running a fever, then you're more likely to be suspicious of infectious disease. And I always like to ask, it's kind of that dry cough, which kind of goes along more with an environmental type thing like heaves, or when the horse coughs, does it cough up stuff? And if it does, what does it look like? Just initially, with viral infections in lung, the secretions tend to be clear. And when they get bacterial infections, it tends to be more of that snotty yellow looking stuff. So if somebody's noticed a horse coughs and brings up some yellow type stuff, then they, well, maybe that horse is now has a bacterial infection. It's come behind the virus. So I think that's useful. Does it tend to be worse when the horse is inside or outside? Because that makes it be more likely to be environmental if it's worse inside. And is it seasonal? That's another question I'll ask you. Does the horse tend to do this certain time of the year? Because that's real typical of things like heaves, that a certain time of the year, whatever it is that real horse is really reactive to, will affect them. So that's kind of my initial set of questions on the phone to help me know what to do for the horse.
Gotcha. Well, Dr. Waldridge, Dr. B, where can people find out more about you? Give you all your websites and book and stuff.
Dr. B's Bluegrass is where I try to put up things that go on in Kentucky and the things I see and kind of interesting horse news to me anyway up there. So today I'll put up a picture of the frigid thoroughbred training center once we get off probably. And if you like to watch horse racing, my filly is going to run Friday night at Turfway Park. So if you get TVG, really? You can watch my filly. She's the second choice Friday night, so we're all excited.
What's her name?
Her name is War Eagles Love. I went to Auburn, so she has an obnoxious Auburn name.
Well, fantastic. We're pulling for congratulations, and thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. It's always a pleasure talking to you guys. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you. I always learn so much.
Thanks. See you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Are you ever going to not have sick horses on the farm?
Oh my gosh. I'm like, we've had 4 veterinary visits and I have 3 sick horses. And I can't, I mean, thank God Groot's okay. Otherwise I'd be losing my mind, but Rocket's sick, Zara's sick. And now Duke has started coughing. And so I'm like, I guess we need to do transtracheal washes and I just don't know what to do. I mean, I just can't do anymore. I besides have the veterinarians out 3 separate times and I've had 3 different vets. And they've all given different antibiotics and they're not any better. So I'm pretty frustrated. So, So it was perfect timing to have him on to talk about coughing because my God, the snot and coughing at my poor baby Zara. She's got snot now because she rubs her nose on her legs. Knees down is completely sticky, you know.
It's kind of hard for them to blow their noses, you know. So.
Oh, they'll blow it directly when you're in front of
them. Yes.
Like, oh my God. Ah, gross. Like in my face.
And it's always when you just say, I'm going to go out to the barn with my clothes on that I'm going out in. Just
for a minute.
I'm wearing the coat that I never wear to the barn because I don't want it to get full of snot.
Yeah.
Yep. And that 2 seconds, you're done.
Done.
So Ovation Riding does have some coats. They have winter wear and coats. So if you go to ovationriding.com and take a look, you're going to see their many choices of coats they have for the winter. And also raincoats, because some of us are not quite getting snow, but are getting freezing rain and sleet. And they actually have the Ovation Coach Raincoat, which is one that comes down to just about the top of your riding boots. So it is long, and it's one of the very few I've seen, and I actually have seen them out and about. It's one of the very few that are really that long, though, but it also have the skirt that folds out from under the back so that it goes over the saddle. kind of acts as a quarter sheet.
Oh, those are nice.
They are really nice. And they're not, this one isn't super heavyweight because you do want to be able to wear, do layering. And that's what this is meant for. So you put your sweaters on underneath and you can use this particular coat. The other thing is $165, which in the scope of things for a really nice coat that's going to last you a long time is perfect. It has a hood. It's called the Ovation Coach Ring Coat. And it's called Coach Ring Coat because people who were riding on coaches back in the day used to wear this length of rain coat.
Interesting.
Yeah, well, they did because their legs were exposed. They were sitting on the coach, and coaches are meant to sit on top. So you had 12 people sitting on top of a great big coach, and the only way you could stay dry was to have a full-length coat like this.
At you, Cliff Clavin, with all your information.
I'm not sure they had quite the sophistication that they did now. They probably made a wool and, you know, which is miserable. But now you can get them, and they're perfect for you. All-weather protection, the Ovation Coach Raincoat. You can find it at ovationriding.com. I do know a little bit about driving after doing the driving show for about 25 years, it seems like. So speaking of shows on the Horse Radio Network, we have another show on the network, and it is called Plaidcast Junior. And one of the brand new hosts of Plaidcast Junior's name is Jess Clausen. Hi, Jess. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
Thank you for joining us. Now, Jess is not just Jess Clausen, and I'm going to embarrass her now because coming on this show, you were going to get embarrassed, right? I mean,
I figured. I've been listening for a long time.
Yeah, exactly. So you're a doctor, Jess Clausen.
That is correct.
So what are you a doctor of?
So I have a PhD in, this is so obscure and weird, and you're going to be like, is that even a thing? But it is a thing. I have a PhD in education history. It's weirdly specific, and can you guess how much I use it in my day-to-day life now?
Are there educators?
Every day. Oh, my God. It's so practical.
Well, it would have been if I had gone down the academic route, but I'm super excited to be on the horse route instead because this is a lot of fun. So, yeah, it actually – I have friends who still text me, like, I have this student who wants to write a thing about labor history, and she wants to write about – that in colleges. And I'm like, oh boy, got to dust off my notes. But yeah, otherwise I don't use it. I adjunct at a local university and teach gender studies there, which is not education history.
Okay. We're going to talk about your show in just a minute, but I got to know how, when you go home for Christmas and all your relatives go, you're a doctor and you host a podcast. So how does that go?
I'm lucky because my family is awesome. And we all kind of think that we're all like, we all love each other a lot and we're all super supportive. So they're really cool with it. I think they all were rooting for me pretty hard when I finished my doctorate that I was going to go down the professional, like, tenured academic route.
Make money route.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, Glenn. This is what I didn't know when I started out on that program is that PhDs don't make any money. My dad is a high school English teacher, right? And he's amazing. And he's been doing it for like 40 years now, but he makes more doing that than I would ever make as a faculty member these days, believe it or not. Mm. So yeah, it actually turns out they're fine with a podcasting gig because I'm, you know, a contributing member of society. So
you,
that's
you
good.
You actually have a but job.
I have a job, right? And my brother is a musician. He's a composer. So it's not too wild in this family to be in a more creative field.
Did you get any of the musical ability too?
Oh, no. Heck no. No. It's just my brother. Nobody else has it. We don't know where it came from, but he's brilliant. So his name's Jordan Clausen, if anybody's looking for a composer.
And I got to tell you, Jess has listened to the show because she knows if she had said yes to that, what was coming next, Jamie? She knew what was coming next. So, Jess, tell us about your horsey self. Were you a jumper hunter? What were you coming up through?
So I grew up eventing and I'm still an event rider. I grew up doing the classic like rubber pull-on riding boots, pony club, like riding whatever I could get on kind of amazing childhood with horses. And my mom is also a horse person. So that was great because she just looped me right into it and has always been incredibly supportive of it. And so then for a while when I was in grad school in Florida, I did the jumpers back when I actually lived near you and I could have just come over to your house to record this. So I did the show jumpers for a while and with Chris Hickey down in Florida, and that was fantastic. And then grad school ended, I moved back up to Virginia and I got sucked right back into the eventing world. And so that's what I'm doing now. I have a young horse named Mo, who's a thoroughbred off the track, and he is amazing and I love him. And he just took to eventing like a fish to water. So that's what I do. And I'm also, I've been in Pony Club literally my whole life. I'm a horse master member now, and I'm the Virginia Region Pony Club horse management organizer. So I'm living the horse life pretty much 24/7.
You're living the life that all the listeners want to live.
Yeah, I have to say, I know it's like cool to be like, I don't know, I'm a millennial. Like, I feel like a lot of my friends are really miserable and probably with good reason, but I'm super happy. Like, I love...
They hate you.
I know. I love my life. It's awesome. I get to do things I love all day long. And, you know, with that education PhD, the one thing that did give me is like the ability to teach, right? So I love teaching with horsey stuff, but I never wanted to be a riding coach. Like, that's just not my thing. I leave that to the people who are good at it. So teaching through the podcast and through writing and all of that stuff and the Virginia Region Pony Club, it's right in my wheelhouse.
Well, tell us about the show, Plaidcast Junior. Now, I think most of our listeners are familiar with the Plaidcast show, and Piper and Sissy do that show, along with Tanya comes on once a month and does the mental side of riding. And the show's really popular on the network. And of course, that the Plaid Horse Magazine is an offshoot of the Plaid Horse Magazine. And then there's Plaidcast Junior. So how is that different than Plaidcast?
So the Plaidcast Junior is the podcast that I host with my dear, dear friend, Alyssa Davidson. She's brilliant. She has a degree in equine studies and knows more about horsemanship and horse care than pretty much anybody I know. So she's the perfect co-host for this. And so we are focusing the Plaidcast Junior more on horsemanship education is kind of how I'm framing it in my head. Like, we all love these horses and we all want to take really good care of them. But I think that sometimes in some programs, there's a little piece of that nitty gritty day-to-day horsemanship stuff doesn't always get there. So I want the Plaidcast Junior to be a way for people to learn more about how to take care of their horses and how to really improve their knowledge base, because I think that improves your skill set riding too. And just answer questions that listeners have about things they've always wanted to know. So we did a podcast episode on blanketing, because that is a surprisingly confusing and controversial topic. And so Alyssa, my co-host, used to work for WeatherBeta. So she knows more about horse blankets than pretty much anybody out there and was able to talk through some of those stereotypes and the myths and the best practices so everybody knows what they need to do when it comes to blanketing.
Now I know where I know her from.
Yeah.
From her weather. I didn't put two and two together. Now I know. Okay, good.
Yeah, she was at WeatherBeta for a long time.
Yeah. That's where we dealt with her. Oh, cool. So Jess, what you're perfect for this, having grown up through the most anal retentive education that you can get, which is Pony Club. Because they really are. I mean, that's a little overdramatic, but not really. I mean, they do focus on all the tiny little details of horsemanship. It's one of the things that Pony Club does really well.
Right. And so I'm working right now with the Pony Club National Office to loop the Plaidcast Junior and Pony Club together. They're super excited about it because any way that they can get a resource out to the Pony Club members, that's brilliant, right? They love that. So I think Pony Club is amazing because it covers not just the riding piece, but the horsemanship piece. And you can't really compete at the elite levels of these sports if you don't know how to take good care of your horse. My riding coach was she is a 4-star eventer. She graduated with her A. She's a national examiner. And she really firmly believes that the Pony Club system prepares these upper level competitors for managing their horses well. Because when you get to that level, if you're not managing your horses well, you really aren't going to have success in the ring.
Well, I'm excited about it. And, you know, it's been going for a little while. So we just needed to really get the word out that it was still there and that, you really have changed the course of it a little bit from when it started too. So Where can people find it? They can find it all the usual places they find any of our shows, right?
Right. So they can find the Plaidcast Junior anywhere that they can find any of the Horse Radio Network shows. It's also on the plaidhorse.com/listen. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram under the Plaid Horse. And while you're at the Plaid Horse website, you should also check out some of the blogs. We have some really, really cool content going up these days that I think our listeners would really enjoy.
Very good. Thank you, Jet. Thank you, Dr. Clawson. We appreciate you being on the show.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, boy.
Hey, you know what that means, Jess? We have one, two, three doctors as hosts of our shows.
Oh, how cool.
Now, one actually practices veterinary, and then we got you and Piper. We are the most educated network out there.
I except think that has to be true.
Because then, you know, we have to take ourselves out of the mix.
I could have been a doctor if I would have, like, you know,
gone to school.
I mean, it's never too late. Can't say I encourage it, but you could still do it.
You're a Master Monty Roberts instructor.
There you go. That's way more useful.
That's right. Practical.
Thank you, Doctor. It's been a pleasure. You're awesome.
Thank you so much. That was a lot of fun.
All right. Take care. Mm-hmm. Jennifer just said the three of us cancel out the doctors. So we're even.
It's true. It's true.
Well, what do you want to do here next, girl?
Well, I found a study show, just one, but I thought that I didn't even need to make you guess. I'm just going to open it up and read you the title. But let's see. It's in my saved folder. Of course, I have like no internet. So do you have a study show? And then we'll get to mine.
I do. I have some good ones for you this month.
Okay.
So do you want to play? You want me to just read them or do you want to play?
I want to play.
All right. Jennifer can play along too if she's still there. I don't know what she's doing. So if she's there, she can play along. So this, what study show is, I take a look at the last month on Google. I just put in study show and I take a look at the last month and see what the headlines are and what studies we have wasted the most money on, because they are so plainly obvious that we could have taken the money and told you that without the study. So that's what study show is. And the ridiculousness this month is a rocking study show that a rocking motion improves.
A rocking motion improves putting babies to sleep.
Ding, ding, ding. Sleep and memory. Now, did anybody in the world think that rocking your baby didn't put your baby to sleep?
I feel like that is just something that if you just know. Why would somebody have to spend money on that?
Well, and the real funny part was it said studies show rocking motion improves sleep and memory in mice and people. So was somebody actually rocking the mouse? That's
right. Now, I didn't just know it helped your mouse to sleep better. I did not know that.
I mean, if your mouse is having trouble sleeping, just get it out and rock it.
That's amazing.
Studies show how exercise can...
Studies show how exercise can make you skinnier.
Well, we've had lots of those studies, I feel like, over the years. Jennifer, do you have a guess?
I'm going to say how exercise can improve your fitness.
Well, we've had those over the years, too, that have been that obvious. But this
this has got to be the opposite. Exercise will shorten your sex life.
I think they do that. Studies show how exercise can help treat depression. Now, personally, when I exercise, I get really depressed because it just hurts and I'm not too good at it. So I don't know if it helps me that way, but that's what it said. Studies show, you're going to love this one. Jamie, if you get this one wrong, you're fired. Studies show
Fried food is absolutely disgusting.
And?
I don't know, but I know you eat those fried Oreos or some junk when you go to the Land Rover. And yeah. I just don't. My friend got the fried cookie dough. It's like a huge plate.
That's I had fried the other night. Studies show fried food lessens your lifespan.
Oh, so, it'll kill you. It'll kill you.
And is there anybody, again, that think it would increase your lifespan? Did we really need the study? We probably
did you see
that.
What I posted the other day was an article about the foods at each fast food restaurant that are the worst thing you could order at each fast food restaurant.
I did see that, and I have to tell you that I wanted every one after I looked at the pictures.
Stop it. Are you kidding me?
No, I just wanted every one. I wanted to call and order one of each.
I think it was Hardee's or something that had that burger that was like two patties, two things of cheese, and two burger patties, two things of cheese, and two layers of bacon. And it was like 104 grams of fat in one sandwich. And then it's like people are like, wow, who knows? That's bad for you? A giant double bacon cheeseburger? Good Lord.
Studies show we've had, I think the thing, there's two things we've had most in studies show, chocolate and sex, right? I think those two are the two things we've had the most. Studies show chocolate is better for you than
sex.
No. Yes, that's been a study in the past, but this one was interesting. Studies show chocolate is better for your cough than cough medicine.
What?
I know.
I'm sold. Baby Zara needs some chocolate. I'm heading out.
So that horse that's having trouble outside,
feed him some chocolate.
Go out and get him a great big Hershey's bar, and you'll be good to go. Yes.
Did you know that at Sonic, the Oreo peanut butter shake is 111 grams of sugar and 104 grams of fat?
That would be one that Jennifer would love. You would love that. Oreo.
Yeah,
don't eat that. It's a trade-off, though, because then you can't eat anything the rest of the week.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
I don't think it works like that, but, like, whatever. It's cool.
Yeah, milkshakes are so good, though. Studies show decline in mental health happens.
Decline in mental health happens when you get older.
It happens when you listen to this show.
Both correct answers, not this study. Studies show decline in mental health happens, or decline in mental health following major hurricanes.
What?
That's what the study showed. It showed that people in hurricane areas hit by hurricanes have a decline in mental health. Well, no crap, Dick Tracy. Your house is gone. You're not going to be too mentally healthy.
Did you know that the McDonald's Big Breakfast with Hotcakes has 65 grams of fat and 1350 calories?
Okay. Study showed taking the stairs... This taking one's so obvious, it's just a waste of total money.
Taking the stairs would cancel out the Wendy's Dave's Triple Burger, which has 72 grams of fat in it.
That is correct. Ding, ding, ding. It really does improve your physical health.
Uh-huh. And but again, you have to take the stairs to the 100th floor.
Yes, exactly. I think one flight's not going to help a lot. Studies show that the lack of sleep is, and this one's again, just guess the obvious.
Lack of sleep is bad for your health.
Exactly the title of the study.
Oh, wow.
Again, are we doing the obvious this month or what? This is just a month of obvious.
You know what? You're like, you know, I'm going to have something healthy today. I'm going to go to somewhere healthy. So I'm going to go to Panera. I'm going to go to Panera because they have like healthy salads and stuff. If you get the Panera bacon mac and cheese, it has 72 grams of fat in it and over 1,000 calories. And 2,600 milligrams of sodium.
Okay, so just take the stairs to the 12th floor instead of the
8th. There you go.
Studies show 7 in 10 people who join the gym in January are done by what month?
February.
February. They last a little longer than that.
Let's go with March.
It's actually May, and I was surprised. Wow. I think what actually really happens is this is what happens. You join in January because of the resolution. You go maybe till February. You start trickling off in March, but you really don't cancel the membership till May because of your guilt. That's happened to me before.
No, it's because they have to have 6 months. They've signed a 6-month contract. Uh-huh. Glenn, when you think surf and turf, what do you think of?
Surf and turf is usually steak and like shrimp or something like that.
Steak and seafood.
Yep.
Now, if you went to White Castle, would you order the surf and turf?
No.
Who orders surf and turf?
At White Castle. I don't like White Castle anyway.
White Castle surf and turf with jalapeno cheese. The White Castle surf and turf with jalapeno cheese has 37 grams of fat, over 1,000 milligrams of sodium. Do not eat a surf and turf covered in jalapeno cheese from White Castle. Don't do it.
I just can't do White Castle burgers. I just can't do them. And I do almost every other kind of burger, but can't do White Castle. There's White Castle lovers. What is on the surf and turf? Is it shrimp? What are, did they tell you? What the fish like product is?
I strike away. But you know, you're like, you know what? I'll go. I'm going to go to Subway and have something fresh and healthy. Did you know that the Subway Ultimate Spicy Italian Sandwich has 52 grams of fat in it?
You know, but Jared lost all that weight before he went to jail.
He did not before he went to jail for like the worst crime in the world.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think he ate the ultimate spicy Italian sandwich. Turns out that there is a lot of sodium in pepperoni, salami, and cheesy garlic bread.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Who knew?
I didn't. Who? It's such a surprise.
Okay, now I have the last one for you, and you have to guess. You both have to guess this, because this one's fun, this study. What were the states with the worst, best and worst drivers? And this is by number of accidents, tickets, all that stuff added up. So the best and worst drivers. What do you think the worst is? What state's the worst?
Florida. Drivers?
Good. That's a good guess. We're worst at everything. So no, actually, surprisingly, Florida was pretty good.
The worst drivers. Let's see. Arizona had some terrible drivers. Georgia or Arizona.
Okay. And Jennifer, any guesses?
I'm going to go with Virginia.
No, actually not.
Is Washington, D.C. Virginia, or is Washington, D.C. its own state? Because that's what I'm going with.
Well, it's not a state.
No, it's not a state.
It's a district.
And it's also not on the list. So here we go. From number five, worst is North Dakota.
There's only five people who drive there. What, every one of them had two accidents?
They all suck at driving.
They're sliding off the road. It's so much snow.
How about number four? I'm surprised you didn't guess this one. California is worst. Yeah. Three, Nebraska, your neighbor over there. Number two, South Carolina.
Okay.
And the number one worst drivers in the country live in Maine.
Again, it's because they're all angry because they live in these northern places. Now,
the best drivers, I'll give you those five. The best drivers are Illinois, Arizona, and your state, Oklahoma.
It's literally because nobody has anywhere to go in the state. They just go 10 under.
They probably all drive really slow, don't they?
10 under all the time. Like, get out of the way. I have places to go. No, they don't have anywhere to go. Plus, you're probably getting stuck behind a tractor driving on the dang road. So there's that. Hey, my study shows.
Wait. Mississippi and Michigan. Michigan has the best drivers in the country. And I know we have a lot of listeners up there. Hmm. So congratulations, guys.
Wow. Congratulations. Yeah. The study show that I found, actually, it wasn't a study show. I was wrong. It says, the title is Science Says.
I love how they've gone to saying science, like it's a big thing. Like, you know, like there's an overall science.
Yes.
Science.
And it's always right.
Glenn, science says, and this is amazing. I could never have guessed this. Science says that moms are happier.
When their kids move out.
Close. That was second. Science says that moms are happier when kids go to bed early.
Because they can start drinking earlier.
It's true. Both those statements are true. You know what? When Chad's here, it's like, you know, Lucas goes to bed at 8:30. When mama's home alone, Lucas goes to bed at 7:45. And I'll be like, oh my God, it's late. It's late. We're late. You got to go to bed. It's so late.
Changes all the clocks in the house.
He doesn't know. Quarter till. Let's go. Did you know, Glenn, that the Bojangles macaroni and cheese, are you sitting down? First of all, there's a place called Bojangles. And second of all, people go there for food. Yeah. Let me tell you, this is... you need to be sitting down. And then if you eat this, you need to get up and run about 1,900 miles. The Bojangles mac and cheese has 450 grams of fat. Wow.
What the heck's in it?
Jeez, not cheese.
Yeah.
They just put poison in it.
Ew.
That's what's in it.
That can't be real cheese, because even real cheese doesn't have that much fat.
It's the Bojangles macaroni and cheese picnic size. So it's
oh,
like
it's a picnic size. It's supposed
huge.
To be for eight people.
It's not huge. It's just a larger than the individual size. So
wow.
It's not actually like a giant vat of mac and cheese. It's just the extra large. And it has but it only has 1,000 calories. And they're like, well, it only has 12 grams of sugar. It has 450 grams of fat. 450 grams of fat. Do you know how many grams of fat you're supposed to have a day?
No.
77.
Hey, I just had a brilliant thought.
450.
Brilliant.
What,
this is brilliant.
Mac and
all those folks with underweight, off the track thoroughbreds, feed them Bojangles mac and cheese.
Cheese.
The best idea I've ever heard.
And on that note, I'm getting hungry and going to stop for a Burger King on the way home.
Not eat the KFC chicken pot pie. And did you know that what else is really unhealthy is you probably shouldn't eat the Popeye chicken livers.
Ew!
Do people eat those?
I've never seen anybody order chicken livers. And that makes me wonder, how long are the chicken livers sitting around? Can we tell you a quick funny story? We had the in-laws in last week. We went to a barbecue restaurant, ironically enough, that you're talking about this. And there's banana pudding on the menu. And after the mother-in-law ordered banana pudding, we sat down and I said, you realize that nobody has ever in the life of this restaurant ordered banana pudding. I have never seen anybody order banana pudding anywhere. And then her banana pudding never came, and it never came, and it never came. And then it finally came. And the waitress actually said, we had to go to the store for bananas because nobody's ever ordered the banana pudding. So literally, I was right. Nobody orders banana pudding.
So here's what they need to do is you just keep the banana pudding in the freezer. And then when somebody orders it, you get out the hairdryer. Hairdryer.
I said, well, the banana pudding's fresh. They just made it. It's all fresh ingredients.
How do you set pudding that quickly? I don't know.
That's scary. I think it came out of, I think that also was probably pre-made.
That is not food. Do not eat that.
We used
do not
to get
eat
the
that.
Big, this is going to bring back memories for the oldsters in the audience. We used to, my mom, because we had four kids, used to get the big cans of chocolate pudding. They were actually big cans of chocolate pudding because, you know, we had four boys and feed him something that would shut him up. So,
do you know in kid cuisine now they have these little kid cuisine things, and it's like nuggets and corn and a dessert and all this in like one tray, and you're supposed to put it in the microwave. Do you know how we bought one? I let Lucas pick out one, and we bought it and we brought it home, and even he won't eat it. Because you have to microwave the pudding.
You have to microwave the pudding.
The pudding was hot. The pudding, you put a whole thing in the microwave and you microwave it.
Are you sure you weren't supposed to take the pudding out first?
Yeah, you can. It's in there. They're like, you had to take the nuggets out and put the nuggets back in the last 30 seconds. And he was like, Mom, this pudding is hot. I'm like, dude, I don't know. I just followed the directions. And he's like, I can't eat it. And I was like, that is my boy. Let's go get you a Hardee's thick burger.
Yeah, there you go. Some mac and cheese. you know what? We have screwed up totally today. We forgot to mention horses in the last 15 minutes. So horses, and we're good to go.
So
thank you, everybody, for
Monterey Melt.
Yes. Studies show that horses will gain weight if they eat Bojangles mac and cheese.
Now, where's our $1 million for that?
The guacamole bacon thick burger. Does anybody think thick burger sounds like a viable, healthy option? Please no. 89 grams of fat in that sucker. Bye. Spade
thank you. We'll talk to you tomorrow. It's Horse Husbands episode tomorrow. Talk to you then. Get your really bad ass in. Jennifer,
I'm going to revisit my eating disorder after the show.
All right. I'm off for some mac and cheese, everybody.
I'm anorexic again.
Yeah, I don't believe that for some reason.